Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome to episode 181 of the English with Kirsty podcast, and I'm looking forward to bringing this conversation to you today. It's a conversation I had with my friend and business mentor, Lauren Bradley, and we talk about a number of things, really. We talk about communication, how it helps to build relationship with customers, some of Lauren's tips for doing that. I'm not going to give this a really long introduction now because the conversation speaks for itself. But I hope you enjoy it. If you want to find out about any of the things that we talked about, you can go to the show notes page for this episode, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode181. So, hi, Lauren. Thanks for joining us today. Can you tell us something about yourself and what you do?
Yeah. Hi, Kirsty. It's really good to be here. And hi to everyone who's listening. So we've got a great conversation planned for today. So I'm Lauren Bradley, and I'm an entrepreneur, an eight-figure entrepreneur. I'm also a business strategist and a business consultant. And one of my areas of focus at the moment is working with women in business to show them some really smart ways that they can escape the feast or famine trap. And to do that by working a lot smarter without necessarily working harder. So that's what I do.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. And one of the reasons I brought you on today is because we were talking about communication and the importance of having good communication skills to start with and communicating well with your customers or prospective customers. So maybe you could give us some of your thoughts around, you know, what makes good communication? What do people really have to focus on when they are trying to get it right in this area?
Sure. Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think for me as an entrepreneur that I've always seen communication as a part of relationship building. And the way that I communicate as well as I can do in business is by going the extra mile for my customers. And this naturally enhances the way that I communicate. And going the extra mile for our customers means going above and beyond what we're promising to do. And that involves a lot more communication, which helps us to exceed their expectations. So it doesn't matter what type of business we operate. We can all easily go the extra mile for our customers. And there's some common things that we can do, some common themes around communications that we can do no matter what type of business we have.
Do you have an example of one of them?
Yeah, so one of them I think is, and this is probably the most important one, is to make a good first impression with your customers or anyone that makes a connection with you. And you only have one chance to get this right. So you want to be as slick and as clear as you can when you make a first connection. And the reason that you want to make a good first impression is you're more likely to make a sale. And if they don't buy from you, then a customer's more likely to return later on to come and talk to you again, or they're more likely to refer you to others if they've had a positive first experience with you. And some practical ways that you can do that in your business is you can use things such as templated autoresponder emails or connect via chat messages. And it's great to connect with customers in real time if you can, and you can do this by having a standardized welcome message ready for them. And if you can't connect with your customers personally there and then automated responses that are written in the way that aligns to your own sort of personal style, your brand and your business is probably the next best thing. So it is really important to make a good first impression. And for many small business owners, Making that good first impression is likely to either be via the phone or via some kind of business messenger. So it's really important to get this first impression spot on.
Yeah, I think as well, following up with that, because I can think of a couple of instances where somebody did do that and they had a really good message. And they said something like, you know, I'd really love to know, tell me something about, or tell me about a time when, or tell me how I can help you. And I replied, and then they didn't reply to me. So like, if you're not intending to reply, then don't generate that conversation. But if you are, then make sure you do that, because you've built an expectation there that wasn't there before. And if you've done that, then you need to follow through and make sure that you, if you want to start a conversation, that you continue in that conversation as well, because otherwise people feel really kind of, why did I waste this time replying to you if you're not going to interact with me? Because normally you wouldn't think to start that email, but if somebody specifically asks you to send them an email and then they don't reply, then that's
absolutely. And to think about, you know, when you do make that first response to them, is what is it that you want to say? How are you going to hook that potential customer or your current customer to continue that conversation? And think about, you know, how are they potentially thinking and feeling, and what are their challenges, and how can you be preemptive to that and continue that conversation? And, you know, obviously, you know, time is tight for business owners, and we want to be responsive, but we want to be smart with how we manage our time. So which is one of the reasons why we think about all of these things in advance, so that when we do get contacted, it's a consistent experience for anyone that's contacting our business, because we're able to more or less template these things up, and the communication style is consistent as well, so that and it's a bit like the McDonald's experience, or, you know, going into a chain restaurant or a chain hotel, for example, that the customer experience is consistent regardless of which branch they go into. And this is what you want to achieve with your business messaging as well, as much as you can.
And it's also, I guess, about being authentic, because it has to fit, as you said, with your brand, with your values, with your tone of voice, like how you are normally and how you come across in your messages. It has to, there can't be a disconnect, because people will begin to get to know you, and then if they actually do speak with you in real time or in real life, then there has to be a connection there, otherwise it doesn't feel very authentic. I like you know, that when I read something from you, I can tell it's from you, that you wrote it and you didn't just outsource that to somebody else to, you know, to sound completely different from how you operate and how you come across.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I really love, I love the, I call it pub speak. And I, for my own personal brand, I like to keep business simple. And I like to strip jargon out of a business conversation. So when I'm having that conversation with customers or people that want to check me out, then I will follow that principle through in all my communications. And what this does, it builds early trust. It builds the start of a good relationship as well. And it is very important, I think, to do that.
And it comes across as really genuine as well, not sort of pushy sales speak, even though obviously you do want to generate sales, but that isn't the overriding message, that it's just, you know, jargon, or it's you can see what somebody's, the psychology behind the message is, you know. Sometimes people can try too hard, I guess, and you don't want to do that, because it can scare people away.
Yeah, totally, Kirsty. And trends are showing now that many customers are buying into not just the product, they're buying the brand, and they're buying the individuals behind the business as well. So that's another reason why it's important to build that good relationship. And also as well to treat your customers as individuals. You know, they're real people too, and to use that in your communications with them. So I always like to tell people to tell business owners to make the extra effort to talk to their customers personally as much as they can, and to use their own language as well, because that is going to build a connection, and that will encourage selling without selling. Because when you're building that authenticity, you're building that trust, you are building on your brand, then the right customers will start investing in your business. So it's a much better way of selling without selling, by building relationships.
I think it shows you care as well. I remember one of my language students was really surprised that I remembered something they told me in our last meeting. It was about a family member, and I asked how they were, and they were genuinely surprised that I remembered. But I think things like that show that you, I mean, I didn't do it because I wanted him to know, like, and trust. I did it because I genuinely wanted to find out. But doing that does help people to see that, you know, you are interested in them as individuals rather than just a number, or, you know, a way of making money, that you care about the individual. And people have different needs as well, so you're more likely to pick up on those if you see people in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is important to try to learn as much as you can about your individual customers and get to know them on that personal level. And one of the ways, you know, social media is absolutely perfect for a business to interact with individuals and build those relationships. So I would encourage all business owners to, you know, to really spend time to hang out with their customers, with their audience, and to actively listen as well. And I see a lot of businesses, they're posting, but they're not listening, and they're not actively engaging and building those relationships, and which is a shame, because, you know, good relationships build that know, like, and trust. So one of the great things about treating your customers as individuals and building relationships with them is it's going to help you to understand how you can serve them better in your business as well. So it's a great opportunity to get lots of great feedback from them, because they're more likely to talk to you about what they want from you and your business and your products.
Yeah, it's a missed opportunity, isn't it? Because sometimes you feel that people are just looking for the clicks, because a post will get higher reach if it's got more interactions, more comments, but not responding to those, or not taking them seriously, or not acting on them is also a missed opportunity. And really, nobody likes feeling that nobody's listening to them, do you? So, you know, if you think that you're talking to somebody and they're not listening to you, that doesn't really motivate you to keep talking to them, does it? So I guess it's a missed opportunity, but B, you could actually damage that relationship if you ask people for interaction and then don't respond. And also it's a really good way to get good ideas. A couple of the things that I've done recently at English with Kirsty and EWK Services, I wouldn't have done them if somebody hadn't suggested them. I wouldn't even have thought of them. They weren't originally my ideas, but there were things that people said that they wanted. And so I did them. And so as a business owner as well, you can get some good ideas that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So feedback is one of the core ways to grow your business, and not just your relationships. It's a fantastic way of developing your products. And also, if you're getting lots of feedback on a particular offering that you have, is also to, you know, to take that communication a step further by asking, you know, your audience or your customers to join you in an online focus group, where they can play a part in developing what you have to offer. And we're not saying here that, you know, your customers lead the way with telling you what you should be doing. It's about a collaborative relationship with your customers, that you can really dig into what's working and what's not working. And I think likewise as well, you know, with using social media for feedback is Your audience are more likely to be more vocal when they're not happy about something. So we see, you know, a lot of big businesses, they receive a negative comment on their social media. And this also, you know, is a great way to turn around your relationship with your customers is by following up on these responses and by listening to them. And to respond in a positive way that shows that you've listened, because if you can win back their trust, if a customer has left a negative comment or they've had, you know, a poor experience, it does happen, you know, it's normal, that by turning that around in the right way, that individual can become your biggest advocate for your business because of the fact that you've taken time to connect and to listen. And you know, we're talking about active listening here, not just sort of listening and not acting on it. So that can make a significant difference in your business and reduce, you know, the churn rate of customers out of your business as well.
This will depend on individual circumstances, but generally, do you think it's good to be seen to be doing that publicly, or is it better to take those kind of conversations into a more private space to, obviously, like for data protection reasons, some of it has to be, but in terms of responding to the initial negative comment, do you have any general advice?
Yeah, I think, I mean, totally. There are going to be instances where it's more appropriate to take the conversation offline. What I would suggest is, for the majority of comments that get left on social media, is not to resist the urge to delete, but to come back with a well-worded and a suitable response that shows that, you know, you're willing to listen and, you know, you want to resolve problems, you want to work together with your customer, so that others reading will see that, you know, you are a proactive business that listens and supports customers. So, yeah, I think as part of your templates around your responses is to think about, you know, how do I respond to different scenarios where I might receive negative feedback, and to, you know, to get that in your mind first, because it can be an emotional experience when you do receive negative feedback. So it's always good to have something in your back pocket that you can work with, so that when you are feeling emotional, you can pull out a response that you've already anticipated, maybe to a particular scenario, if that makes sense. But yeah, absolutely. I think to have open conversations with your customers on social media, but of course, you know, as the business owner, that you do want to temper these conversations and not to allow them to turn into sort of any form of bun fight, because that's not going to help your business either.
Yeah, and if you are feeling angry, go and have a coffee or walk the dog or do something that takes the emotion out of it for you, so that you can respond appropriately. Because I, you know, sometimes when you see very emotional responses to things, it doesn't reflect well on the person who wrote the original message. You can think, well, they're a problem, aren't they? But if you see a response that sometimes you think, well, they kind of wanted that response, they wanted to see an emotional response and they got one, that doesn't help anyone reading it. You may feel sorry for the person that got it, but if they then respond angrily, it doesn't reflect well on them either. So
yeah, absolutely. And also as well, you know, we're all human and business owners, you know, we get things wrong, and it's part of building that authenticity when you do get things wrong, is, you know, to say on social media, you know, I apologize, I dropped the ball there, but this is what I'm doing about it. This is how I'm responding back to that. This is what I've changed in my business. So for example, you know, if you've had a breakdown in the in your ordering process, for example, is to come back to that individual and say, you know, this is how going forward I'm going to fix what's happened so it doesn't happen again. And again, that rebuilds trust with your customer. It also demonstrates that you've listened, but also what it's going to do is to other people that are reading these comments, it will show that you are listening and you do work to constantly improve your business practices as well. So negative feedback's not always a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I guess expectations are unrealistic to start with, and then there may be negative feedback as a result of those, but often people are just trying to get something resolved. And I think there was some research I was reading about how, you know, not saying sorry obviously is the worst thing, but sorry and or sorry but we're going to has better results in terms of people coming back than just sorry. You know, sorry on its own sometimes isn't really enough.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so important to hear what your audience and what your customers are saying, is actively listening, and don't be afraid to apologize, but the apology needs to be genuine. And so to your point, you know, a sorry might not be enough, that you have to support that apology with, you know, exactly, you know, what you're doing to remedy the situation. But yeah, to be genuine, but don't be afraid to apologize. I think an apology, a genuine apology shows strength, strength of character, and shows humility, I think, which is so important in business as well. And customers do respect that. Mm-hmm. Even if at the time they might be feeling emotional, it is important, I think, not to get sort of pulled into the emotions at that point in time. So I think that is a real tip there from me, is, you know, apologize, listen, don't get pulled into the emotions. So yeah, go away and have a cup of tea, come back to it.
Yeah, because they will probably be doing the same, and sometimes it, you know, responding in a timely way is important, but not at the expense of getting it right. If you need to go away and find some information, if you need to go away and calm down, then, you know, that 10-15 minutes is okay. I mean, there are times when a holding response might be a good idea if you need to get some more information, but I think because social media can be so immediate, you can feel pressure to respond to things immediately. But I think everybody knows we all have business to run, lives to lead. And sometimes, you know, that extra few minutes just to compose yourself and make the right response is better than just rushing into something just to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And even just leaving a very short response under the comment to say, I just want to let you know, I've seen your comment. If you bear with me, I will come back to you more fully when I can give you my my full focus and attention as well. And that will go a long way to when you do get started on looking at any feedback they have. So you can do two things. You can be responsive sort of immediately, but you're not getting pulled into the situation or the, you know, the emotions, and you're giving yourself time to think about how you want to respond later on.
Is there anything else you'd like to add on that in terms of tips or ideas?
Yeah, I think also as well, you know, to be more sort of behaviorally, you know, to be attentive. And this is about being mindful in the way that we engage with our audience. You know, so we do want to be proactive. We want to go and read comments that have been left for us on social media, for example. We want to, you know, be attentive to our customers. And I think patience, again, you know, coming up, is that's something that it can be difficult in an emotional situation to be patient, but it's so important. And also as well, when we are responding and working with our customers, is to make sure that we are coming back to them with accurate information as well. So if a customer is, you know, raising a concern, that we take that time to do the right investigation into what they've raised, that we come back to them with a level of accuracy, because that can make a situation a lot worse. So listen to what they're saying, be as responsive as we can, and to build all of those things into a strategy of how you're going to work and communicate with your customers. So whether you build all of these things into your business's social media strategy, or you build it into your customer service strategy, the most important thing is that you have a strategy in place on how you're going to make those first connections with your customers, how you're going to nurture them, and how you're going to support them when things go wrong. And if you can cover those three things, then you do have a stronger business, most definitely.
And one that people will hopefully talk about in a good way, because that isn't always the standard experience that you get everywhere. So if you're doing something really well, then it makes you stand out from other businesses that maybe aren't. And so that's... you know, people talk about good things. They complain when things go wrong, but they also tell their friends if they have a really good experience. So
exactly. And I think also to that point, Kirsty, is not to be worried. You know, if you have reviews on a business page, and if you have a couple of reviews that aren't great, then don't worry too much about that, because if you've responded in the right way, other people will come in and read those reviews. But, you know, we are all pragmatic. We don't expect businesses to be perfect. And sometimes things do go wrong. And I think a business that has 100% perfect reviews, again, that may raise an eyebrow or two, because, you know, nobody expects perfection. And if something seems too good to be true and too perfect, then again, you know, there's a natural tendency to wonder, you know, is there something wrong? Do reviews get deleted? So don't be too worried about negative or less than perfect feedback, because it's fine. It's part of the course of business.
Yeah, and if everything is all 100% wonderful, you do wonder when that's 100% genuine as well.
Absolutely. But you know, the main thing is to get to know your customers as individuals. You know, have bring joy into your relationships with them. You know, really enjoy getting to know your customers, and go the extra mile for them. And be consistent with the way that you're building your relationships as well, because consistency also is going to help you to become more efficient in your business as well. And one of the just one of my final tips also around consistency is, if you do have a team of people working in your business, is to make sure that your team are aligned with your brand values, that they know what's expected of them with how they communicate. So that would be, you know, the type of language that they're using, the tone also that they're using as well. So obviously, you know, you might have a what you might use in a legal practice might be very different to what you might use in a restaurant. So you need to make sure that your team are fully supported with what's expected, and also that your team know how to handle feedback that's been left, and how to respond to telephone calls and messages in a way that is consistent and is on brand as well. So that's a final tip from me that's, you know, really important.
Yeah, definitely, because that's all feeding into that consistency of experience. It shouldn't depend on whom you're speaking with if you've got multiple people working. or working on your social media, because I've never done it, but some people outsource that side of their business, and so there needs to be consistency with how comments are responded to, and what happens if you contact the business in a different way.
Yes, absolutely.
So if people want to find out a bit more about you, what you do, and if they want to maybe get in touch with you, or have you got some, I will add the links on the page, but do you want to tell people how they can do that, or if you've got anything coming up that might be interesting for them?
Yes, certainly. So I do have a website, so laurenbradley.com. So as Kirsty says, you'll be able to click on the link to that. So on my website, I have a couple of ways of working with me. I have a mentoring program that I work with business owners to escape their feast and famine trap, and to work with me to build six-figure businesses. I also have a book as well, which again talks about skyrocketing your business by loving your audience. So that's selling without selling. And I have a Facebook community as well, which we'll leave the link to that in the post. So yeah, do come and check me out, and feel free to drop me a line if you'd like to connect with me. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I can recommend all of those things, the book, the community.
You're in them all, Kirsty.
I'm in them all, so I can recommend them.
Awesome.
Okay, well, thank you for coming to talk to us today. Thanks for being on the podcast and for the tips. That's Kirsty. Really useful.
Okay, lovely. And thanks, everybody. I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation. Okay, cheers, Kirsty. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.